You are listening to the AccuScience Podcast, featuring AccuScience Laboratories President and CEO, Dr. Harry Bizzotti. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 2 of our AccuScience Lab Podcast. My name is Angelo Malone, and I am here with AccuScience CEO and President, Dr. Harry Bizzotti. How are you doing today, good sir?
Oh, thank you very much, Angelo. Thank you for conducting the second episode. And I want to thank Jamie for joining us.
And that leads us in. We actually have a very special guest with us here today. We have Jamie Treadwell, who is the owner at Treadwell Farms. And we're going to talk to her today a bit about what goes on at Treadwell Farms and a bit about what they do there and some of the intricacies of the processes at that farm. So if you can, Jamie, thank you so much for being here with us today. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm very excited to join you guys and talk about Florida-grown hemp.
What we want to first go into is a bit about Treadwell Farms and what your role is there.
Sure. So Treadwell Farms is a family-owned business. The business is actually owned by myself and my parents, Glenn and Sharon Treadwell. Our family's been in the agriculture business on both sides in Florida for over 100 years. We've done everything from row crops to citrus to my dad has a peach orchard. And then most recently, we, for as long as I've been alive, grew foliage plants for florists and really high quality plants that you would enjoy in your home or give as a gift. We got involved in the cannabis space a number of years ago. We had a medical cannabis license and also helped launch a CBD company. And we worked in Oregon on hemp out there. So we've had a lot of experience in the ag space. One of the things we're most excited about is the ability to be a part of launching the hemp industry in Florida. We've done that by creating a farm in Eustis, where we have been working to identify the genetics that will work in our region, as well as support farmers by educating them about how to grow hemp and, of course, growing our own hemp. And then we actually purchased a citrus processing plant in Umatilla, Florida, and are converting it to a hemp processing plant. We manufacture a number of CBD products like tinctures and topicals and even have a collaboration on a tea. And I'm very glad to say that we worked with 10 farmers in Central Florida this season. All of them were able to successfully get their harvest approval. And I believe they all worked with AccuScience to do their testing. And then we were able to purchase that hemp. So we're very invested in agriculture. We're very invested in Florida. And we really want to see our state and our area of Central Florida be the premier location for the highest quality hemp and hemp products.
That's very interesting. Something you brought up that stuck out to me there was educating farmers on growing hemp. But what are some of the things that farmers need to know in going in and growing hemp?
Well, one of the things that we found initially when we started Treadwell Farms, we were just intending to grow hemp for ourselves and to make and to manufacture products. But as we went to a lot of the meetings, what we noticed is a lot of the experts were not from Florida. And the great thing about Florida is everyone knows fresh from Florida is a seal that means something. I mean, we have quite an agricultural heritage here. It's the second largest industry in the state. And with all of the issues with the pandemic, it's even more important now. Tourism's impacted. So it's an important industry here. Florida is a great place to grow fruits and vegetables and tropical plants and all manner of things, but it's also a hard place because we don't have the cold snaps that kill bugs. We are a prime zone for every kind of bug and pest and disease. And so farmers in Florida have to be really savvy. We deal with humidity issues that you're not going to see in more arid climates like Colorado or Oregon, where they just don't have the weather patterns that we do. Also, we can tend to have land that is pretty soggy, and these plants don't like wet feet. You know, they are susceptible to root-borne diseases. So there are a lot of ways that Florida is an excellent place to grow hemp and many other agricultural commodities. But if you don't have familiarity with Florida and the types of issues we face here, just because you've been successful as a grower in another state doesn't mean you'll be successful in Florida. So one of the things that was important to us is to identify farmers in our area that were interested, had the right attitude and were willing to learn, had the right place, meaning their greenhouse or their outdoor field was suitable for the crop that was to be grown, and were willing to collaborate and work together to work through issues. I can't really take credit. It's more my dad has all of the hands-on growing experience, and he came out to Oregon and helped me put in a hemp field there, and we grew successfully for 2 seasons. And then, as I said, we had a medical cannabis license, and we pulled off 5 straight harvests before the license was sold. So we've had experience elsewhere. We've had experience with cannabis here in Florida, and we felt like it would be important for us to help others be successful. Because we know ultimately for the industry to be successful, there has to be a supply chain. As an aside, just as someone who's grown up in this area, I think it's great that so many others are wanting to move here and appreciate the beauty. And one of the things I'm most proud of is that for most of the farmers we're working with, their children or grandchildren are getting involved in this new crop. And so I'm hoping it will help retain that agricultural heritage in our area by giving people a new and interesting and hopefully profitable crop for them to move into.
One of the things we wanted to talk about was the importance of a lot of these businesses that are interested in CBD hemp products to have local grower and lab partners. It seems to me in what you described, there's a lot of intricacies in growing in Florida that a company like yours would be able to kind of foresee that an outsider would not.
I mean, that's what we feel. I know for this season, for us and our farmers, we took a slightly different approach than many others. We didn't plant as early. It was just based on many years of experience for my dad, knowing when there's likelier to be rainy periods. We harvested a bit later, and this season was hard. I'm sure you all remember that we had some unseasonable rain where for multiple days we had torrential downpours in a way that was uncharacteristic for us. Because we opted to go in a bit later, we were still in vegetative state during that period and didn't have the same type of issues with botrytis and humidity-related diseases that some farmers that went in earlier than us did. And, you know, that's only something you know when you've grown in a place for a long time. And none of us has a crystal ball, but we know when we're likely to have certain types of issues. And we found the same thing with our farmers. Most of them are multi-generation and really know the place that, you know, their particular area that they're growing. And we gave them the freedom to make adjustments to where they felt like they could be successful. And one thing that I always say is farming's hard. It's harder than people think it is if they've never done it. And you have to really get in tune with your land, with the crop that you're growing. And there's a lot of knowledge that can only be gained by experience. And I'm really proud of all of our farmers for putting that into play. And thank God everybody was able to get their approval from the state to harvest. Everybody was able to pull it off. Everybody learned something new, and we have our first farmer meeting this Saturday to get kicked off for the next season, and I even think all of the farmers are going to participate in this season. So we're really proud of that and think that it's a big contribution to our area.
Without question. There's a question that's often answered, especially by somebody like myself, who is a layperson in the field, is if you can break down what the real difference is between hemp versus marijuana.
Sure. Really, they're legal definitions. And in some ways, we're splitting hairs. Hemp comes from a cannabis plant. It's just a cannabis plant that has less than 0.3 THC. That's a legal definition. That same plant could be called a medical marijuana plant if it's grown in Florida in a medical marijuana treatment center. If we were a state that had recreational cannabis, it could be called a recreational cannabis plant. But those are legal definitions. It's still the same genus and species of plant. It's just, if you think about like roses, you can have miniature roses, you can have red roses, pink roses, you know, just keeping it simple. These are just different types of cannabis plants that have been grown for different attributes. In this case, cannabinoids other than THC. And different characteristics, but they're still all a cannabis plant. One thing that sometimes confuses people is hemp plants sometimes are grown for fiber. When they're grown for fiber, there's less need for resinous buds like what we use to make essential oil. It's still a cannabis plant. It's just a cannabis plant that isn't bred for the buds as much as it is for lengthy and fibrous stems and stalks. again, going back to the rose example, it's still a rose. It just has different attributes and might be used for different purposes.
Absolutely. Yeah, it definitely helps someone like me who, again, it's a term that I often can confuse sometimes. And that's a very great digestible way of understanding it. If you can, walk me through the seeds to bottle process. How does that go down?
I'll do a harvest eye view. How's that? So first, we start by selecting the genetics that we'll plant for the season. And that'll be based on the time of year, our prior experience, even now what the market demands and what our customers are interested in. So that's the first choice. One of the things we do at Treadwell Farms is we always trial all of our genetics before we introduce them into rotation. So we're constantly planning and evaluating to see what's performing well. And that can be things like, what is the structure of the plant? Is it going to do well in our environment? This is kind of getting in the weeds, but does it have good internodal spacing so there's airflow so that it's unlikely to develop botrytis or other humidity-borne issues? So before we ever plant that seed or take that cutting, there's a lot of brain power that's gone into it. And whether it's for ourselves or our farmers, we're always trying to take that knowledge and help make the best selection for them and for the season and for the growing environment. So there's a lot of work before the first seed or the cutting ever goes in the ground. We have at our facility in Eustis, we actually do seedlings and rooted cuttings. We do them for ourselves and we do them for other farmers. So in that case, we're monitoring them and we're advising ourselves or the farmers on when's the best time to shift them up or place them in the field. And that's based on the weather, the performance of the plants, how sturdy they are, what the root structure is. So there's a lot of collaboration that goes in the step from taking it out of the greenhouse and placing it into the field, whatever type of field that may be. Then once it's in the field, the plants go through the vegetative cycle. And that's basically, I always say they're like big solar collectors. They're just putting on green leaves in order to collect from the sun. And all of our farms are sun grown. Even if they're in a greenhouse, we still consider that sun grown because we, at our greenhouse, we have clear tops. So we're trying to leverage as much as possible Florida sunshine. Mm-hmm. So the plants are out, they're in the veg state, they're growing quickly. The plants can double in size day over day as they grow. So that term grow like a weed, I don't know if it came from cannabis, but it could. I mean, you can tell a visual difference day by day if the plants are happy during the vegetative state and they are just growing. And then based on the amount of hours of sun in the day, we call it flipping the switch. They flip the switch and they move into flower stage. And in flower stage, the plant's energy goes from adding those leaves to creating the resinous buds or flowers. And those resinous buds are where the CBD oil is, it's where the oil is, all the cannabinoids are, all of the terpenes, flavonoids. The cool thing about hemp is the other parts of the plant have use. But really, the most value for the products we create is in the buds itself. So those buds are growing and swelling up in hopes, because we only use female plants. I mean, that's another. I know I'm getting detailed. You asked me to go there.
Oh, no, this is good. This is good.
So for resinous buds, the only plants we want are female plants because we want the plant's energy to go towards that oil production in that resinous bud. If they were pollinated, then the plant's energy would go towards seed production. You may or may not be aware that if we find any male plants in the greenhouse or out in the field, they get killed because we want females that are going to produce big, juicy, resinous buds that are great for extracting oil from. So we're closely monitoring the plants as they move into the flower stage. That's where we would work with someone like AccuScience, or in our case, we have an internal lab where we're doing kind of spot testing to see where our CBD and THC levels are so we know when to call for our inspection. In Florida and in every other state, any plant that's harvested has to be less than 0.3 THC. So we actually contact the state and let them know that we believe we're ready for harvest. We also contact lab partners like AccuScience. And as I mentioned earlier, AccuScience did all of our testing for us and our farmers this season. We call for a test and then we bite our nails and get really nervous while they come and take the test samples. and anxiously await the report back from the state that our crop is suitable for harvesting. For us, the way that we do harvesting, because we really want to do everything that we can to make sure that all of those beneficial compounds that are in the resinous buds make it into our products, is we hand harvest, which means each plant is taken down by hand. We then prepare it for drying, which means we remove some extraneous leaves and do some prep work. And then we actually hang dry all of our material. That's kind of an old school way to do it, but by closely monitoring the humidity and temperature in our drying space, we feel like we can do the best job with a slow dry and cure of retaining all of the compounds that exist in the plant when it was still in our greenhouse and living. So it usually dries for 7 to 14 days, depending on the outside weather, the variety, and what we're trying to achieve. And then once it's all dried, we carefully check all the moisture level and make sure it's ready to go into storage. It goes into cold storage. And then it can be used for inhalable flour if it's suitable for that. It can be used for oil. It can be used for a variety of different purposes. One thing that differentiates Treadwell Farms products from others is you may have heard the term biomass before. We actually, and we ask our farmers to do the same, our biomass does not contain a lot of stem, stalks, and leaves. It's mostly flour. Okay. Because we want to have the highest quality oil possible. So we actually do some extra work post-harvest and in the drying process to make sure that we have the highest quality material. First job is pick the right genetics. Second job is get it through the veg cycle and get the plant to the size that you want it to be and keep it healthy. Make sure it makes the flip into flower and then closely monitor it to know when you want to call for your harvest inspection. Get a good lab partner to come take your tests and then say your prayers and cross your fingers that everything checks out. Once it does, then the mad dash begins to get all the plants harvested and properly dried and cured so that they can be stored and then sold, you know, for its variety of purposes.
And believe me, Jamie, I cross my finger too. I don't want to get bad news too. So.
Yes. Well, I mean, it's really, it's one of the things that's the hardest about being a hemp farmer is it's still a plant and Mother Nature always knows best. And sometimes you're going to get curveballs. We do a lot of pre-work on our genetics to make sure that we think it'll be successful in meeting all the legal definitions of hemp. But Mother Nature can pull tricks on you at times. So just because a farmer has an issue, that may not mean the farmer's done a bad job. It just means that sometimes things happen. And but like I said, we're very happy and we're very excited that all 10 of the farmers we worked with in Lake and Orange County was able to successfully harvest, receive their state approval. We haven't had anybody that's had contaminated material. So all the work that we did for soil and water testing, you know, pre-planting, none of that. We didn't have any issues. And knock on wood, you know, we'll have another successful season this year.
That's fantastic. So Dr. Bazzotti, what Jamie was mentioning there in finding a local lab partner and sending the samples over, what are you testing for when that arrives on your desk? What are some of the things you're looking for?
Let me start saying that the partnership has really worked very good the first season. A lot of us were new in this thing. And both myself and Jamie, we talk about the program. We made it very simple for all the farmers, actually. We had a pre-printed chain of custody. They knew exactly when we received the sample. We made it very simple for them to go through the process. And a lot of that confusion that came would have come. We never had that. So the partnership really worked out. There was a lot of communication before. Administrative, it worked out very good for us. But we do a pre-harvest, and we are one of the four laboratories in the state of Florida, maybe five right now, that we are approved to do testing and sampling. And we sample it to make sure that the THC level is less than, as Jamie said, is less than 0.3%. We pour that to state. And after the harvest, actually, again, Jamie doesn't want to contaminate her instrument, the crop. We do a post-harvest analysis that we test for pesticide, mycotoxins, or cannabinoids, heavy metals, microbial. Basically, that's the level of our services.
I love it. So, Jamie, you go through this whole process. What's the most rewarding aspect of what you do when you have these finalized products? What's the feeling like after it's done?
You know, and I realized you asked me to go seed to bottle, and I just took you to dried and cured and stored. I didn't even talk about our product development process and how we do manufacturing. But I would say completing a finished product that we feel confident in that in its potency, also that we know it's safe because we have a good lab testing partner, and we know that we can provide a product that's free of heavy metals, pesticides, leads, mycotoxins, and microbials. We're lucky in the state of Florida that the state requires CBD products to have the same structure of testing as medical cannabis products. And if consumers purchase made in Florida products and grown in Florida products, there's a lot of confidence they can have in the safety of those. Most people don't realize that cannabis plants are bioaccumulators. They will pull up anything that's in the soil. They've actually been used to clear up Chernobyl. And really, where your plant's grown, how it's grown, and how it's tested is very important. From our perspective, there's actually more risk to the consumer if there was, for example, a heavy metal or pesticide contamination, probably, than if the THC or CBD was a little bit off. So We are really proud that Florida has enacted those laws. And at Treadwell Farms, we would have done those tests anyway, because we know it's important to make sure that what the products that people are using are what they say they are and that they're safe. We actually do our formulations here. We mix, bottle every product that we make. We're very hands-on. And the most rewarding thing is to know that our consumers are receiving a safe product and to hear their reports of what impacts they receive in improvement in their quality of life and how it's impacting them. That's the most rewarding part. I would say the second most rewarding part is being able to buy these crops from these farmers. We know how hard it is to grow all of these plants, and then the rush that happens when you're harvesting, drying, and curing, and worried about the weather, and worried about if you're going to have enough space to store everything and transport it. And it's just such a good feeling to write them that check and to help them close the loop, because we know that a lot of farmers don't have an outlet for their material. And that was something that we wanted to offer here, is that our local farmers would have a place to sell their material.
Jamie, thank you so much for your time today. This is great. The work that you're doing for local farmers and the community in general is just fantastic. Thank you so much for taking the time out to speak with us today. Dr. Bazzotti, thank you for your time as well.
Thank you, Jamie.
Oh, you're very welcome. And we have a lot of information at treadwellfarms.com, blog posts that are informational, information on our products. If your listeners are looking for local grown, high quality artisanal CBD products, please give us a look. And if there's ever any way that we can answer questions or provide information, we really want to be a source of that for our community.
Absolutely. And again, that's Treadwell Farms, T-R-E-A-D-W-E-L-L farms.com. Jamie, thank you again so much. Dr. Bazzotti, thank you.
Thank you for listening to the AccuScience Podcast. Find us on the web at AccuScienceLabs.com.